Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Okay, next week is a very important week for a certain exhibition that is opening its doors the 9th of March. It's a massive musical exhibition, attraction, which is based at the iconic Cunard Building. What better place? Down there on the waterfront. It's the British Music Experience. The man who's been working 24 hours a day to make sure it opens with fanfare is Kevin McManus. Morning, Kevin.
Morning.
Right, okay. I went to the original press conference where you announced that you were going to have the British Music Experience in Liverpool. It seems like an eternity ago. When was it? Just give us some background, some idea on how this has ended up here, because it has been in London.
Yeah, it was in London for best part of 5 years at the O2. And then when they were looking around for a new home, a lot of cities in the UK were really interested in it, and Harvey Goldsmith, who was the founder and is the chair, came to Liverpool and saw the Cunard Building and just saw the opportunity that offered. You know, as you say, an iconic building right on the waterfront, and Liverpool's association with music, it all made sense for Harvey and the other trustees, and they decided to come to Liverpool, which is brilliant. And
so, out of all the cities that could have been chosen, Liverpool was the perfect one because of its association with pop music?
Or? Yeah, I think, I mean, it was a couple of things. I mean, Harvey, I mean, genuinely, if you when you speak to him, will tell you, he's delighted. Liverpool made perfect sense for him, really, because of that. And then when you add in the building, this amazing building, the waterfront location, and a supportive council and mayor, you know, Joe Anderson was instrumental in bringing it here as well. You know, he talked to Harvey and they saw the vision for it together. So, A lot of people have played a role in making sure it comes here, and I think when people see what we've got in there and how brilliant it looks in the Cunard deal, you know, it's been the perfect decision.
Because you have to say, for a city that is steeped in sort of music culture, whether it be the Beatles or Scylla or whatever it might be, even present day music like the Zootons, etc., there's not really that much at the moment that reflects that. Even if you went down Matthew Street or what have you. So this really is the first of its kind within our city.
It's the only thing of this type in the UK. It's you know, so you'd have the V&A or others will do one-off exhibitions like they've had the Bowie stuff and the Rolling Stones, but a history of UK music in one museum is, you know, there was only the O2 one, and now it's in Liverpool, and that's it in the UK. I mean, it's the US has got three or four of them. Again, not in the US, it doesn't take place in Washington or New York. It's in the other cities, which seems to be the best way to do these things.
So give us the idea behind it. So it's based in the Cunard Building. It's an amazing building. If you walk into the room that you've taken there, it's huge, it's expansive. What are visitors going to be treated to? What is the principal idea behind it?
So the principal idea is it's a celebration and the history of UK music from 1945 right up to the present day. So, and it is right up to the present day. We've got we've got stuff from the Brits from last week in there.
What have you taken from the Brits?
We've got in the Brits section, we've got guitars from the likes of Coldplay, Arctic Monkeys, you know, people who are Brit winners. Like, we've got Adele's handwritten lyrics from Chasing Pavements. And then we've got footage from last week's Brits, and then we've been in conversations with the Brits, so we'll be getting, you know, relevant items from last week and talking to Brit winners to get to update it. So it's going to be really current as well as going, and we've got X Factor as well, which, you know, is an important part of music industry these days. But then at the other end where you start, you've got trad jazz, which, you know, just from after the war and skiffle. We've got Lonnie Donegan's guitar and lots of skiffle memorabilia and Akabilk's instruments and Akabilk outfit. So it's everything, you know, everything right from there right up to last week, and everything in between. All supported by amazing interactive stuff. So we've got the traditional museum thing. We've got cabinets with these amazing, you know, with Manny's guitar in, with Arctic Monkey's guitar, instruments, outfit stuff. But you've got loads of interactivity, so you can, there's a timeline which tells you what was going on in those years, what music was happening. So I've just done the stuff for the last few years, so, you know, things like the Hillsborough Inquest is in our timeline, and the music that was around last year, David Bowie's death, George Michael's death, the referendum. So it brings, you know, music, what's happening in the UK, how that impacts on and in the world, and how that impacts on the music, and how music reflects what's happening in the UK and the world. So it's a fascinating. It's, you know, even though I'm working and I've been buried in it for 24 hours a day for the last few months, it's still...
You're still interested in it.
There's just always new stuff, really, that comes up because, you know, it's a part of everyone's life, isn't it, every day.
So just explain, so you mentioned them with, the Hillsborough Inquest. So how have you marked that in a musical way down there?
So it's in a feature called Timeline. So as you go through the different zones, it just keeps you up... It tells you what was happening in... key events of that particular year. So last year, as I say, music related, there was things like people, key musicians dying, like Bowie and George Michael. So that's mentioned in a brief history of them and key news items. So things like the Hillsborough Inquest verdict and the referendum and the, you know, different political things. So it's all done digitally. Really impressive. Because of technology, it's really impressive these days. And then alongside that, you've got the music that was happening, key tracks from last year. So it's all interwoven, and it's, you know, it's as up to the date as it can be, really.
Very clever. How do you get your hands on the memorabilia? What happens there? So you mentioned the Brits. Do you have to bid for stuff, or do people actually just say, oh, I tell you what, the British music experience is somewhere that'll preserve our musical history. We'll give them this guitar.
Largely the latter, to be honest. BME is a charity, so we don't throw money at things. If we can help it, we do occasionally have to buy certain things because it's the only way to do it. But largely, we rely on loans and donations of objects. So last week we got Queen. We've been in conversation with the Queen's management and the group themselves, and they've loaned us. Some instruments and a Freddie outfit. You know, there's
an original Freddie Mercury outfit.
Everything's original. You know, it's dealing with artists themselves, management, collectors, the families of, you know, people have passed on. Sometimes the family are keen to see the objects that they own shown. The V&A have loaned us some outfits, you know. So most stuff is on. A lot of the items are on loan, and without those the generosity of those people, you know, we wouldn't have such an amazing exhibit. But yeah, it's from all sorts of things. We've got a few Beatles things which came from just a mate of mine who happened to. We have a conversation, and his dad died a few years ago, and he had a little Beatles collection, and he's lent us some of his memorabilia, which is
brilliant.
Exactly what we wanted. Yeah, and it's chance stuff like that. Since people have been aware, we're open, and I've had loads of phone calls from people offering us bits and pieces. And part of the issue is we just, you know, even in a building like the Cunard, we're limited in you can only show much.
So, space.
So we have to be really careful about what we show, and it's got to have some significance. You know, it's got to be something that someone's played or worn, or, you know, being used on a video or a particular performance, or handwritten lyrics or set list rather than just a copy of something.
So you've got thousands of items in there. Presumably you have to take them all in there with kid gloves, don't you? Because they're precious, aren't they? Each and every one of these.
Everything's really precious. So yeah, and a lot of certain objects, paper and material, fabric is particularly so. They're all maintained in the gallery in really controlled conditions. But yeah, when you're actually handling them, installing them, you have to be very careful and wear conservation gloves so you're not putting oil from your hands on things. So it's all really carefully done. And people like the V&A have strict conditions, so their stuff was shipped down in very protected cases, and they inspect them as they come out and things. So it's why it takes so long really to install things. It's a real science.
Well, one of the big parts of the exhibition is a number of Bowie outfits, original Bowie outfits. Of course, extremely sort of sad time in terms of the passing of David Bowie. It's brilliant to have these here in Liverpool, isn't it? Is that one of the things that when you're looking at those, you're thinking, wow, does it bring a lot of sort of history straight back?
To be honest, when there's so many things in there, you go wow, and but it's when I've mentioned that because I was like most people, I was a Bowie fan growing up, but I was friends with a lot of absolute Bowie obsessives. So it's, you know, I can. it's a huge deal for people. You know, so we've got three outfits. We've got a set list from Bowie, from a tour, from the Ziggy tour, I think. And there's also, you know, so there was a few people in yesterday at a test event, and they're just, yeah, they're overwhelmed by the what we've got from Bowie, because, you know, he is one of the most significant artists of the last 50 years, isn't he? So it's, and his death has just brought all that into focus.
So it's a week today, the 9th. Are you ready, Kevin? We're ready. Get some sleep in.
Lots of long days and not much sleep, but yeah, we're ready.
Yeah, if people want to go down there, obviously, a week today is the official opening, but is it opening the weekend after, or is it open officially a week today?
It's open a week today, and then it's open forever. I think, you know, the only day we closed is Christmas Day.
It's opening hours of what?
They'll settle down, but it's nine till seven, I think, and then we open later on a Thursdays. Mm. So we'll work out when that sort of stuff you adjust as you go along, really. But yeah, we're open long days and into evenings, so people can get a chance to see what we've got.
And what does it cost to get in there?
Standard one is £16, but there's all sorts of there's concessions. Mm. And deals for families and things like that. So yeah, that's all on the website.
I think you're going to be chocker for you. Also, you're right in the perfect place for all the cruise liners turning up, aren't you? They're going to be coming off the cruises and through your front door.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, one of the great things is, yeah, you know, obviously we want local people to come, but it's a national and international attraction. Mm. You know, we'll be very keen on those tourists who are coming off the cruise liners and people come to Liverpool to see Beatles attractions and stuff, so we're hoping that they'll come and see us, as well as go to the various Beatles and other musical things, come to festivals and come to BME as well. You know, there's lots of music festivals in Liverpool. It's an added thing to do while you're here. So yeah, people are going to be knocked out. It is, even though I've been working in it every hour of the day for the last couple of months, I'm still, you know,
you're still excited, aren't you? I can
really
see it on your face.
Excited and impressed. Yeah. It's and when you've seen the first few people who've come through, they're genuinely like knocked out by it. So it's a big thing.
Are you having a star-studded opening? Is there anyone?
There's a launch, and to be honest, the launch will be Harvey, our founder, will be there, and the other trustees, and we'll be inviting the people who make the museum are the lenders. You know, some of them are famous and stuff. So it's more about a thank you to everybody who's made it what it is, to be honest.
Kevin, thank you. Best of luck. Best of luck with it. That's the British Music Experience. It's opening on the 9th of March. That's a week today. It's down at the iconic Cunard Building. If you walk past, is it obvious where it is?
Yeah, the hoardings are up outside now. Right. So directly opposite the water. You come in from the water, from the Merseyside. Yeah.
Okay, so it's permanent home down there. Used to be the first class passenger lounge, didn't it?
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.